This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We find Yaakov Avinu coming upon the Makkah in HaMikdash. He passes it, he returns, and that Makkah HaMikdash, Ayivka B'Makkah, it was a tremendous moment. Tremendous moment. Thank you. It was a tremendous moment. The moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him in a dream, Vayachloim, Sulam Mutzavartza, Malachi, Elohim, Oilim V'yardim Boy, Hashem is Nitzav Olam. And of course, as we know from the Midrashim and the Rishonim, the Ramban, that there was a lot of Asid, the future of Klal Yisrael, was all hidden within this dream. To the point that when he wakes up, he says, "Manoira amokim azeh ein zeh ki im beis Elohim v'zeh shara shamayim." When he goes to sleep, he does something interesting. He takes stones. Vayikach mi'avne amokim. Vayosem rashi yisof. He puts it around his neck. Rashi explains what is he doing with these stones around his neck. Asan kemin marzev savav l'roishay. He made it like a wall,
protect his head.
A protection around his neck, around his head. Why? Sheyarim v'nechayis royis. He was afraid of the wild animals. And this is a medrash rabba samaches yud aleph. Then Rashi says eschila meriva zum zu. Because Rashi's bothered by a question, it says Vayikach me avni hamokim from these stones, plural, many. Later on, it says he took the stone and he made it a matzeva. So the question is, was it one or many? Says Rashi, originally it was many, but they began to fight. Eschila meriva zum zu. Zoysay meres alayaniach tzadik esroishay v'zoysay meres alayaniach. Each one was fighting to be under the head of the tzaddik. Miyad osra kodesh baruch hu even achas. He made one stone. V'zeh shenemar v'yikach es even ashesam and ashesayis. Now it's interesting. What did he do? It says he did it a min ma'aziv savul roishay, because he was afraid of the chayis roish. So I guess it was supposed to protect him. The idea of these stones was supposed to be like a fence to protect him from the chayis royis. I mean, how would it protect him? I mean, a chayira could jump over a stone. Chayira, you know, there's a reason why we call them chayira. You know, it's wild animals. So what was the protection? What did he have for making this fence of stones around his neck? So there's a pshat from the Alter from Slabodka, from the Alter from Kelim, I don't remember which one, but it's a famous var from the Bali Musar. But before we get to that pshat, I'd like to just discuss in pshatava. Maybe they were very, very big stones. Don't forget, Yaakov Avinu was able, Vayogel Asahavim Yalpi Aber, but those royim, 40, 50 royim couldn't move. And you talk about Royim. Royim are usually people who are, there are people who have strength. They work with the sheep in the fields. You're talking about strong people. They couldn't remove the Evan al Pi Aber, and he was able to move it. So maybe the stones that he took
from the well, is that from the well?
The stones that he took were very, very big stones. Maybe there was. They all ask the question. It's such a famous, I think every child comes home from school with this question. How to protect him from the chayis rayis. And the truth is, who tells you how big these stones are? Maybe they were stones like the size of a Kaisla Maravi. And therefore, you aren't able to jump over it. Still doesn't really answer the question, because let's say he did it Saviv L'Roisha, around his head. What about, so that he'll come from the feet?
All his body did.
What about his whole body? It says Roisha. It says Saviv L'Roisha. So I'm sorry, your picture book says differently. Tell your picture book, write him a letter, and tell the whoever wrote that picture book he should read Rashi before he makes pictures. It says Saviv L'Roisha. So what about the rest of the body? Maybe the part is, if you attack the head, it's, you know, like with one bullet you can get him. You attack the body, he can wake up and fight back maybe. He can make a fight with the animal. If he attacks on the head, I guess it's one blow and it's finished. But if he attacks by the feet, he'll wake up and he'll fight the animal. It's a good question. So there's a vart from the Alta from Kelim, or the Altum Slabotka, I don't remember which one, but that the pshat that they say is Ishtabus. Of course it wouldn't help. How could this help? If it's Chayis Royis, they'll jump over. But what it is that he did it little Ishtabus. And Ishtabus, even though it's not going to help, he did his. That's what Ishtabus means. Ishtabus means you do whatever you could do. And the rest you leave to the Eibishter. So he did a little bit. You can't be Simech al HaNes completely. Can a person say, you know what, I'm not going to protect myself. I'll walk in front of a car. Well, you can't do that. You have to be Mishtadl. You have to do some action of protecting yourself. So he protected himself to the best he could. He made the stones around his head. And the rest was, the Rabbeinu Shlomo will help me from here. I would like to say another pshat, Rabbi Say. What was the idea of taking the stones to protect him from the Chai Yisroyis? How was that supposed to protect him? So the first thing I want to point out, this is the first time that Yaakov Avinu doesn't learn. For 14 years in Shem Ve'Ever, he's learning. It says Rashi clearly, Vayiv, so this is the first time he's taking a real break, so to speak, from learning.
It
says he didn't sleep. He didn't lay down to go to sleep. He fell asleep a little, but to take a break, so to speak. To take a break. It says clearly. So this is the first time Yaakov Avinu, so to speak, lays down to sleep. A break, a hefsek. It says later, Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnosoi. Yaakov got up, Mishnosoi. What does it mean, Mishnosoi? If it meant he got up from sleeping, it should have said, Vayikatz Yaakov. Why do you have to say he woke up from his sleep, Mishna Soy, from his sleep? So the Medrash says it doesn't mean his sleep. The Medrash says Mi Mishna Soy, which means from his learning. He woke up from his learning. I mean, he went to sleep, and that's called woken up from his learning. What does it mean? It says in the beginning he fell, he went to sleep. So he went to sleep. And then it says he woke up from his learning, so he wasn't sleeping, or he was sleeping, so what was it? So on the side of the Medrash, there's many pshatim. One pshat, Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnasoi, he woke up from his sleep, his learning, because he always used to wake up from in learning. He used to wake up to learn. So even now that he fell asleep, he woke up, oh, I have to go back to learn. Vayikatz Yaakov. Yaakov woke up from his learning, meaning he was used to not sleeping. Since he constantly learned, he was used to not sleeping. That's pshat. Vayikatz, he woke up. Mimishnasai. I think the Marzav on the side of the Medrash says this pshat. You hear? Vayikatz, you know why he woke up? Mishnasai, because he was always learning, so he got used to not sleeping. Why does the Medrash speak this out? Meaning, why would the Pasuk have to emphasize this? Could be to teach us that Yaakov Avinu, what's Pshat Yaakov Avinu slept? Even when he went to sleep, he couldn't sleep. Which means, don't think that Yaakov Avinu laid in bed, yeah, and he rolled up the covers, and he planned for a good night of sleep, and he put on front of the door, do not disturb sign, you know. You ever see in front of the hotel rooms, do not disturb! Why? Because the person wants to sleep for 15 hours straight. Don't bother me. Because Olam has a person, has a musag, that he sleeps, l'shem sleeping, for the sake of sleeping. So just like he plays, he doesn't want to be disturbed. When he's sleeping, he doesn't want to be disturbed. But if a person only sleeps because he could learn, that's why a person goes to sleep. If a person sleeps because he has no choice, he has to sleep. So if he gets up, why does he get up? He gets up. I mean, I'm just sleeping. So the minute I'm able to get up, I get up. Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnasai. The Pasuk is trying to tell us, don't think that Yaakov Avinu made a decision that he's going to just go to sleep. That's not what happened. He had to sleep. So even if it was Shachar, even when he lay down to go to sleep, he didn't go to sleep, so to speak, to have a, what do you call that? A nap. What do you call the nap? What do you call a beauty sleep? He used to feel good afterwards. That wasn't what the Kavana was. He went to sleep, and then, oh, I have to learn. And he woke up from that. And he woke up. Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnasai. If you take a look at the Eitz Yosef, the Eitz Yosef says another pshat. What does it mean he woke up from his Mishnasai, his learning? Says the Eitz Yosef, because tzaddikim, when they sleep, they learn even more than when they're up.
Is that the angels teaching him?
He says that their neshama goes up to the makam upstairs, the makam elyain, and over there they're able to learn Torah. They're able to learn from the Makar Torah, and then they come back down to this world, and that gives them the power, the strength, and the kayach to be able to mechadish kedusha Torah in this world. Yeah, so vayikatz Yaakov, he woke up from his learning, because tzaddikim, when they sleep, they're learning. So says the Eitz Yosef. On the side, the Marzav says, this pshat of the Eitz Yosef, I don't like it. I don't like this pshat. It doesn't mean that he woke up from his learning. Now what's the argument? Why does one say it means he woke up from his learning, and one says it can't mean that? Could be one learned, like the Goyin. We know that the Goyin, different than the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef had a malach that came to him to teach him, the Magid. The Beis Yosef learned with an angel. The Gra didn't want. The angel wanted to learn with the Gra, and he said, I don't want. Why? I want a melus batoyah. I want to be able to toil and achieve the Torah on my own. I don't want it to be given to me. As a matter of fact, when he went to sleep and he had Chidushi Torah in his sleep, he wouldn't want to write it down. That's not Chidushi Torah. Chidushi Torah mean, I have to work on it, work hard. What I got in my sleep is not called Chidushi Torah. So it could be that's what they're arguing. One pshat in the Medrash, one Mefarish is learning, the Marzav. That's not called learning. I don't like that. And the other one is saying, no, maybe like the Beis Yosef, that's still called learning. Fakert, tzaddikim, go up to the Shamayim, and in the Yeshiva Shalmala, there's a Yeshiva Shalmala. That's where they learn their Torah, they bring it back down. That's what the two pshatim are contention between the two Mefarshim. I want to point out, there's an interesting Mati Ephraim. The Mati Ephraim says that there's a question if you're allowed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. It's a question. Because the Gemara says that if you sleep on Rosh Hashanah, your mazel will sleep through the year. So they bring down that Arizal slept. He would sleep. So on the bottom of the Sefer Mati Ephraim, there's a Mefarish that says, what are you bringing your proof from the Arizal? You're going to compare yourself to the Arizal. What the Arizal was able to be massing, was able to achieve in his sleep, you won't even achieve when you're up. So you're going to sleep because the Arizal slept and the Arizal was achieving big things in his sleep. Don't compare yourself to the Arizal. Point being, you see this yisod, that big tzaddikim, when they're in the yeshiva shalmala, they get big things. It has nothing to do with us. By us, if it would say Vayikat Yaakov Mishnasa, you would think it's after for learning for 2 hours, because we sleep when we learn, and we woke up from the learning. We would have a whole different understanding of what it means Vayikat Yaakov. If it was us, it would be that we woke up after the shir. We woke up after the learning. We woke up. Vayikat, it could mean Vayikat. He woke up Mishnasai from his learning, because when he's sleeping, he's learning. By us, when we're learning, we're sleeping. And that's exactly what on the bottom of the Mati Ephraim, the Ktea Mati is trying to say. Don't bring a proof from the Arizal. Because when the Arizal was sleeping, he was learning. And by us, when we're learning, we're sleeping. So don't bring any rayas. Okay. This is l'chayra what happened, that Yaakov maybe was still learning. But whatever it is, it wasn't the same the way it was in Shem Ve'Ever. It wasn't the same. Says clearly, Ba'isa Makam Shachab, this was the first time that he went to lay down to sleep. Now, let's understand, who are these Chayis Royis? You know, if you look at the Medrash, the dreams that he had, what were the dreams that he had? About Bavel, about Nebuchadnezzar, it was all about the future. Gullison, Aliyas and Yeridus of Klal Yisrael. Fayishkav, when Yaakov has a little bit of a break in the Torah, then the Chayis Royis come. You know, all the nations of the world are compared to different animals. There's the Doiv and the Ari, Persia, Bavel, Doiv, it's different. That's what he was referring to. It doesn't mean the Chayis, he was afraid of a lion or a bear or a fox. He was afraid because at this moment, it was a very epic event, don't forget. He saw the future of Klal Yisrael, the whole Eretz Yisrael is now underneath him. It's an unbelievable epic event. So he was afraid of the Chayis Royis that are coming to attack at this moment when Yaakov what? When Yaakov stops learning a little bit, when there's a break in the Vayishkav Yaakov Bamokri Mahu. How do you protect yourself from that? So if you notice, the Medrash says that there's a lot big story behind the stones. Vayikach Na'amni Amokri. How many stones? See, it says he took 12. And why did he take 12? To check if the taka become one. Will they turn into one stone? If they turn into one stone, it's a sign of what? Achdus, the Klal Yisrael unites. That's what the Medrash says. Now I understand the point. How do you protect yourself from the Chayis Royis? When we're in Gullus, when we're in danger, when they come to attack the Makom HaMikdash and Eretz Yisrael, the protection is Achdus and Klal Yisrael. That's the protection. When Klal Yisrael unites, when Klal Yisrael, that's what it means. He put a Saviv L'Roishay around his head. Doesn't mean to protect his head. It means big things. It's supposed to be a resemblance, a simon. That Saviv L'Roishay is the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. And this, Rabbeisa, we know. It says that when Klal Yisrael goes to Gullus, Rachel is mevakal boneha. Rachel comes to cry for her children. She comes out. That's why she was buried. Aleim Aderech. That's why she's buried in base, over there in Beis Lechem. Why? So she could daven. How does her tefillah help us? So there's a medrash that the Rabbi Yisraelim said Klal Yisrael brought a tzara lebeisi. We'll discuss a little bit later. They brought it Salem. and Avodah Zarah to the Heichel, and Rachel says, I brought my Sarah, which is a second wife, to the house. I did it to you, and I was Mevater, Yushim Mevater. But what's the side of it, says the Maral, that Rachel is the Akeres HaBayis. We learn from the Pasuk, V'Rachel Akara, says the Medrash, Akeres HaBayis. She is the foundation of the home. Says the Maral, what does that mean? Akeres means that she protects the home from disintegrating. Akera means, Akeres, that it's the foundation, that the home should remain intact, to unite and not to divide the home. And the Melu and Klal Yisrael Aliyah, and this is what I think what the Maral means, it's a Netzach Yisrael, Perik Aleph at the end. When Klal Yisrael leaves to Galus, after Sinas Chinam and Machloikis, they're ready, the house is ready to fall apart, so to speak. They're ready to disintegrate. Rachel's capabilities, Koichis, was to be Akeres HaBayis, to unite Klal Yisrael. And when she unites Klal Yisrael, and when she makes together, they survive the Gullus. That's how Rachel protects them as they leave into the Gullus. So says the Maral, with a little bit flavoring and a little bit additive. But that's basically what the Maral is saying, and this is the Pshat here too. Yaakov Avinu knows that the Chayis will come to attack. What's the protection? The protection is when Klal Yisrael unites Ba'achtus, as Evan Achas. You know, it's interesting. The Makam HaMikdash today, the Harabayis, where the Kais HaMaravi is, the Arabs claim it's theirs, and they come there, and they throw stones. When is the time that the most that they throw the stones? Anybody know when usually? There's a certain time when they become wild and crazy. It's always the same time. Birchas Kayanim and Sukkos. For some reason, they become crazy. And they, L'chayra, think it's because look how many Jews are there, and it makes them nervous. The real reason is, Rabbi Yisai, I'll tell you where it comes from. You know, Birchas Kayanim, everybody talks about it. Anybody who ever experienced Birchas Kayanim by the Kaisel feels the same feeling. Klal Yisrael's united. All types, all groups. Everybody stands, one Kayin like this, and one Kayin like that. All the types, in front of all the types of people who are receiving the bracha. That immense achdus by the Makom HaMikdash protects us from the chayis that come to the Makom HaMikdash. The Sitra Acha, their inner Yetzahara, they feel something. They feel it by Birchas Kayanim because of the achdus that we show by the Kaisel HaMaravi. This is the Yikach Mi'avnei HaMakom. It's epic. It's not just literally he took stones. It's the asid of Klal Yisrael that the Avnei HaMakom, when they unite, protect from the Chayis Royis that come to attack, so to speak, in the night when we're in Gullus. It's Gullus, night. A Yishkav, we're sleeping from Torah. We're a little bit low. We've fallen. We're not at the same levels of what it once was. What keeps us? What's our kiyum? The answer is the achdus. And that is what they feel. And that's what they're responding to, throwing the stones. By the achdus that's portrayed by the Kaisel at these times. I'd also like now to discuss the simanim. Like I told you, Rachel was the one that takes us out of the gullah, so to speak. It's interesting. The Medrash tells us tremendous things about the giving over of the simanim to Leah. It's not just a tremendous thing, it's what keeps us alive today. If you look at the end of the Medrash Eicha, in the Psicha, Perik Chavdalid, it's clear that what keeps us alive today, the reason for our existence today, is the fact that Rachel gave the siman. The Avos came crying. Hashem wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. The Avos came crying And each one said, I did Asar Nisyonis, the 10 tests. Yitzchak said, I did the Akedah. They all brought out their schusim, and it didn't help. Hashem was ready, it says clearly, to destroy Klal Yisrael. Finished. So we see two things from this Medrash. One, that the Simanim was greater than the Asar Nisyonis. It was greater than the Akedah. Yitzchak and Akedah couldn't do it. Couldn't protect us. Rachel Simanim, that protects us. And we also see that we wouldn't have been here if not for the Simanim. This is our existence. Why? Why is the Simanim so great? And why is it that it's the reason for our kiyum, our existence throughout the generations? What is it, the Simanim? So the truth is, there's a very big question about the Simanim. Because the Gemara tells us in Megillah Daf Yud Gimel that it was an act of tznius. That the tznius that Rif Rachel had by giving over the Simanim, that tznius, you see, Shaul had it, because Shaul became the Melech B'Yisrael. He didn't know he was going to become the Melech. He went looking for donkeys. So he went to Shmuel. Where's my father's donkeys? In those days, they used to go to Rabbanim for that, you know. Where are the donkeys? So Shmuel says, donkeys? I'll tell you where the donkeys are, but I'll tell you more. You're becoming the Melech B'Yisrael. You're becoming the king. He leaves Shmuel's house, and the uncle of Shmuel, I'm sorry, of Shaul, asks him, where were you? So you know what another person would have said? Where was I? If you know, you don't even know what just happened. I just became the Melech B'Yisrael. He didn't say one word. He said, I was looking for the donkeys. Tznius. Humble. Tznius. Nechbel Akelim. He was humble, Shaul. So this was a child of who? Of Rachel. A grandchild of Rachel. And then years later, there was another grandchild, Esther. Esther also tznius. Ain Esther Magedis is Mulata Vesama. She didn't say what nation she's from, tznius. So the Mefarshim asked, was it tznius? Okay. First of all, what is the tznius? Well, where is the tznius of giving the simanim? You're right, it's chesed. And it's rachmanis, which is really what the Medrash and Eicha says. The Medrash and Eicha says it was rachmanis. It was chesed. But where tznius? What does it have to do with modesty? So the Ben Yoyada, the Ben Ishchai, in his Sefer on that Gemara, says two pshatim. Pshat number one, he said, do you know what day of the week was the wedding of Yaakov and Leah? It was Shabbos. It was on a Friday night. He brings from the Arizal that it was on a Friday night. And why was it chosen Friday night to make the chasana? Because Lavan knew that he wanted to trick Yaakov. How can he trick him with his lights? I mean, he looks and he sees it's not Rachel, it's Leah. So he came up with a plan. He'll make the wedding Friday night, and he'll go and he'll turn off the lights. And since Yaakov keeps Shabbos, he's not going to turn the lights back on. See, he's able to what? To fool Yaakov Avinu. So he brings from the Arizal. Question is, says the Ben Yoyada, Ben Ishchai, so let's say he didn't see her, but he should have recognized by the voice. I mean, you talk to somebody, you know, you don't sound the same. It doesn't, not the same person. Unless maybe they have the exact same voice, two sisters. Chazal already discussed this. Chazal in Medrash Eicha say that she was underneath the bed. That Rachel was underneath the bed. And while Yaakov was talking, thinking that Leah, whoever was laying there, was responding, was really Rachel responding. So he thinks it's Rachel. She sounds like Rachel. Ben Yoyada says a different pshat. Ben Yoyada, the Ben Ishchai, says, you know why he didn't recognize by the voice? And the answer is because there was a lot of tznius. They didn't see each other. From the time that Yaakov Avinu, from the time that Yaakov Avinu kissed Rachel that time and decided that they're going to get married, they didn't see each other. Period. So he didn't really recognize her voice. That's what it means, tznius. That tznius was able to bring about the simanim. If not for the tznius, the simanim could have never happened. How could such a thing happen? I mean, you should be able to tell by the voice that it's not Leah. That's not Rachel, that it's Leah. And the answer is because there was tznius, and therefore they were modest that they hardly saw each other to know each other. It's not like today. Today, before someone gets married, he knows them well. He knows his collar. He knows her voice. He knows what type of clothing she likes. Yaakov knew nothing about Rachel when he married her, to the point that he was able to marry Leah thinking it was Rachel. Modesty, tznius. Then the Ben Yoyada says a second pshat. Tznius means you're not megalos sight. Tznius means when someone doesn't give over a secret. So, Rachel didn't give the secret. Shaul doesn't give the secret that he became the melech. And Esther doesn't say what nation she comes from. Secret. Keeping a secret is a tznius. Okay. You know, Rabbi Isai, we have another problem, though. If you look at the Medrash doesn't say one word about tznius. The Medrash says that Rachel tells Hashem, I gave the simanim, I had rachmanis. It's called rachmanis. I had concern for the busha of my sister, and I did chesed. So was it tznius? Was it rachmanis? Was it chesed? Which one was it? We find different names to interpret the greatness of the act of Rachel. Was it tznius, like the Gemara in Megillah? Was it rachmanis, like the Medrash in Eicha? Or was it like chesed, that Rachel says, I did chesed to my sister? This is a good question. I would say pshats like this, Rabbi Yisai. This is how I would answer this question. And with this, I think we can answer what's so great about the act of Rachel to the point that we live off that schus throughout the gullus more than maybe the Asar and the Sionis and the Akedah. Yeah? What was in the story of the Mesiris Samimonim? Was it tznius? Was it rachmanis? Was it chesed? And the answer is obviously it was all three. And you know what all three means? The simanim of a yid. The Gemara Yevamos tells us that what is the simon of a child of Avram, of a Jew? Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gaim Leicha, Sa'adim. It's all the three things that Rachel was saying that she did. I had rachmanis, Baishanis, which is busha, which is tznius. It's the same idea, it's the same thing in different words. And then there's Goyim Lechasadim, the chesed. And now I understand what Rachel was telling the Eibishter. Rachel's telling the Eibishter like this. What are you claiming that Klal Yisrael sinned, that they brought it Tzeilim Beheichel? Yeah, but they happen to have a tremendous midah. You know what it is? They're Rachmanim, they're Baishanim, and they're Goyim Lechasadim. Which means that no matter who and what they reach, no matter how far they fall, but they have this. This is their attributes, their mitzios, their mahus. This is who they are. Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Goyim Lechasadim. The Gemara in Chavav in Kedushin brings a whole machloikis between Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda. Ramey says, Yisrael Shechatu, they're considered Yisrael. They still have a din. I'm sorry, Yisrael Shechatu are still considered Banim. They're still considered children of Hashem. Forgive me, I'm sorry. Banim. Rabbi Yehuda says they lose their status of Banim, they become Avadim. You know, Yom Kippur we say, Im Kibanim, Im Kavadim. It's a question how we paskin. Do we paskin like Rameyer, that they're Banim, Im Kibanim? Or do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, Im Kavadim? What is the halacha? So the Rajba says a chiddush. The Rashi in the Tshuva says, we have to paskin like Rav Meir. We have to pass like Rav Meir. I, says the Rashba, that when there's a machloikis, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, the rule of halacha is to paskin like Rav Yehuda. So why are we passing like Rav Meir? This is the Rashba's question. Why are we pass? He says the halacha is like Rav Meir. But the rule is to paskin like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda mechaveirav. We still paskin like Rav Meir because the psukim seem to clearly support Rav Meir's shita. Shuvu banim shayvavim, that when they do averis, they still have a din banim. So I once asked my Rebbe Rav Pam Zech Tzadik Levracha, I don't understand. How could the Rashba paskin from a pasuk? It's machloikus two tanoim. So the Rashba, the Gemara didn't tell us what the halach is. So the Rashba is able to paskin from a pasuk that the pasuk. I mean, well, what does that mean? I can say now, you know, there's machloikus the Rashba and the Ritva I'll paskin because I have a deek and a pasuk over here. What does that mean? He said, it's a very good question. And he said, like always, I'll think about it, and you'll think about it. I thought about it. I came back and I told him the teretz, which he liked very much. The Rebbe liked it very much. I said, if you look at the Klali Ha'ira, it's mashma that if a person paskins, I'll pee the klalim, that's when it's a machloikis din. Machloikis in the halacha, how to paskin. Let's say there's a metzias. It's a shailum. And then the edus come and say, this is the metzias, this is what it is. It's not a machloikis anymore. The machloikis of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, the Rashba is saying, you know what I really think is the machloikis? Not in din, shailum metzias. Do they still remain banim? And the metzirai is from the pasuk, you see clearly, they remain banim. Yisrael shechatu, they're still called banim. It's not a din that they're called banim. They still are banim. No matter what you do, no matter how far a yid falls, he still has the traits, the mahus, the mitzius, of what makes him a ben. That you can't take away. That remains. That's pshat Yisrael. Afal pi shechatu banim hem. They're still banim. When someone's child sins, but what are you gonna, it's his child. What are you going to do? There's nothing you could do. With this, Rabbi, I think this is what pshat, what Rachel was telling the Eibishter. The Eibishter came and said, I have to kill them, destroy them, I have to annihilate them. They did it on Vera, they did it on the Zohar, the ultimate. Comes along Rachel and says, yeah, but look, I as the aim, introduced, I in the aim, in Yitzhakamat, I geflanzt, I implanted in Klal Yisrael, Rachmanim, Baishanim, Goyim Leichasadim. And that's the simon of Klal Yisrael. You know what a simon is? When something is lost, that's when you need a simon. When Klal Yisrael is lost, when you don't see the Klal Yisrael, you can't tell, it's lost in the gullus, fablunged in the gullus, that's when the simen takes effect. Oh, I can tell it's a yid. I want to tell you an interesting story. Two stories I'll tell you. There was once a din Torah by my Zayda about a certain family that there was this question, they found out, the mother, the grandmother, there was, wasn't Jewish, it's a whole problem. And they were trying to prove that, yeah, the mother, the Eidus, witness. So, it seemed that there was no way out of it. It looked like there was pretty much clear that they were not Jewish people. I remember my grandfather was speaking with Rav Libus, and they said it can't be. Why? If you look at the way they behave, the wife, the husband, their behavior, it's that of a Jewish person. It doesn't make sense. I'm sure that it's a Yid. And kacham. Well, finally, they dug up that it was a Yid. When something is lost, you know, the way to tell on a hidden, lost thing with a simon, Siman Yisrael, and I want to tell you an interesting thing. I was at a simcha recently. All the waiters had bald heads. I guess that's the style today. I don't know. They looked like they all came out of the NBA. Every guy came out, right? One guy kept on coming over to me, you know, trying to give me a dish. And when I said no, he would say, why not? It's good. Taste it. It's really good. And then when I told him, no, can I pack it for you? I'll pack it. You'll take it home. And I said, where did I hear that? Sounds like a Bukharian Jew. Only a Bukharian mother would talk like that. A babushka, a Bukharian babushka would talk like that. Yeah? I said, he's too kind to be a guy. He's a Yid. He's a Yid. And they all look the same with the clean shaven hair. You can imagine what looks just like them, just like a Puerto Rican. It didn't make any. I said, it can't be. Too nice. Too. It's impossible, and I was right. Bukharian Jew. I spotted mile away. He looked just like everybody. He wore the same, the black and the white, completely shaved head. You know what it looks like? Dark skin. You couldn't. From the talking, I said it's a Bukharian Jew. Kid, tasted it. It was good. Puerto Rican. Yeah, who cares? Who cares if you have them? If you. Rachmanim Baishanim Goyim Lechsad. Oh, says Rachel, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I know him Idut Selim Behechel. I know that. But Rachmanim Baishanim Goyim Lechsadim. And Rabbeinu Shel Olam, why do you pick Klal Yisrael? Why did you choose Klal Yisrael? Rabbi Ruchim explains, Choshak Hashem Bavisechem. The Pasuk says, that the reason why the Rebbeinu Shem loves Klal Yisrael, Atam HaMa'at Mikol Amim, you're the smallest. But what? But Hashem loves the Midas, the Ovis, and the Ovis give their Midas to the children. That's how Rabbi Yeruchim explains. The Rebbeinu Shem loves the Ovis because of the Midas. And those Midas go to the children, because that's what a child has the Midas of the father. And Mela, the Rabbi Hashem loves Klal Yisrael. So this is what Rachel's telling him. Look at the beautiful Midas. They have the Midas of Avram. Simani Yisrael they have. Achmanim, Baishanim, Goyim Lechasadim. So yeah, they were Mayim Mitzela Behechel. But Yisrael, Shechatu, they're still Banim. That's their Mahus, that's who they are. So you have to protect them. You have to keep them alive. Because that's why you chose them in the first place. So they do have Oyd Zara. So they will mime it at Salem Behechel. There's a beautiful Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, in Gemara Shabbos Peches, that Klal Yisrael is compared to an apple. Why is Klal Yisrael compared to an apple? Because Klal Yisrael said, Nasav Koydim Nishma. And the apple, the leaf grows before the apple. And the Gemara brings a pasuk, Kitapuach Ba'atze Hayar, Kedoydi Ben Abonis. Comes to Isis and asks a question. That pasuk is not talking about Klal Yisrael. That pasuk from Hashem. Klal Yisrael says about Hashem, Kitapuach ba'atzi hayar, like an apple, kein doidi, so is Hashem my doidi. Says the Tosis, well, how could you come and use this pasuk to prove that Klal Yisrael is a apple? You like the questions, Tosis? You know what the Chassam Sofer gives the Teretz? It's not a question at all. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was an apple, and we are his children. The tchunos, the nature is the same. So if the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has the eight kaidim l'piriyai, Klal Yisrael, and that's pshat in the Gemara, mi gila rozeh lebanah. Because since the Eibishter is the Tapuach,
yes,
you know there's a famous statement, a saying, apples don't fall far from the tree.
Yeah.
Some sefer. Some sefer. What's the connection? The apple and the leaf. The leaf comes before the apple. So too Klal Yisrael said Nase before Nishma. And what says the Gemara, where do we know it from? Because it says Kitapuach Ba'atzei Ayar. Klal Yisrael is like an apple. It says Toysa, but it's not true. It's going on Hashem, the Pasuk. Says the Samson, it's not a question. Because, yes, it's going on Hashem, but we are the children of Hashem. And that's what I'm adding to the Chassam Sofer. That's why the Gemara, I'm adding this to the Chassam Sofer, that's why the Gemara says, Mi Gila Rozeh Lebanai. Because it actually what comes from the Tapuach Ba'atzei Ayar, Kedoidi Ben Habon. Okay. Now, I think we could go one step further. Rachel Imenu is not only telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Klal Yisrael's Rachmanim and Baisonim and Goyim Lechasadim, and therefore you should love them anyway. Now I understand what Rachel is saying even deeper. How are they Rachmanim and Baisonim? Where does that come from? There's a very famous Arachayim, Banim Atim LaShem Elokeichem. We are children of Hashem. How and why are we children of Hashem? Oh, Chas V'Shalom, you know, to walk around saying that Hashem has a child? There's a whole religion based on that which is off limits for us. So what does it mean? What does it mean, Banim Atim LaShem? Says Arachayim HaKadosh, how does a child represent the father, because he has the same tchunis, the same midas, the same nature. We also have v'halachta bedrachav, we go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because we're able to do that, that's a simon that we're banim atim l'Hashem. Because children follow the midas of the father. Now I understand what Rachel is telling the Rabbi Nishleilam. Rabbi Nishleilam, I taught them rachmanim b'shanim igayim l'chassan. They are able to do it because you're a Rachman, a Baishon, and a Goyim El Chesed. They have your Midas. So they're your children. So when you come and say to me, my children sinned, what does a wife usually answer back to the husband? Actually, you're for me. Rachel's telling the Amish, they're my children, they're your children. They're Achmanim, they're Baishanim, they're Goyim Lechasanim, they're yours. Miyad Nichmeru Rachamov, says the Medrash, right away the Eibush has Rachmanim, because it is his children. Rachel brings out that Klal Yisrael is the Eibush's children. And that's why it says, V'shavu Banim. Doesn't say V'shavu Banecha. Why doesn't the Eibush say to Rachel, your children will come back? And the answer is, Vishavu Banim, the children. They're not yours, Rachel. They're mine also. That's what the Eibush is saying. Yisrael, Shechatu. They're still called what? Banim. This, Rabbi Isai, is the Mesirah Simanim that we live with. We live with the Mesirah Simanim. And the Pshat is, if we act like Banim, then we earn the title of Banim to the fact that the Eibishter protects us even in the Galus when we do Averis. That's what we learn from over here, that even though they were Midu Tzela Beheichel, but they were Banim, they were children to Hashem. Pshat Rabbi Yisai, Gevaldik. You notice I brought out before, Im Kibanim, Im Kavadim. So what's Im Kibanim? What are you going back again? Im Kibanim, Im Kavadim. Im Kibanim, Rachmeinu Kirachim of Abanim. What does that mean? Whatever it is. If you tell me it's a Machlaikis, Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, I thought we passed on Kremeya. You just told me the Razbis is when passing Kibanim. So how does the Razbi explain Im Kibanim, Im Kavadim? What does it mean? I think it means as follows. Im Kibanim, Im Kavadim. It could be both, depending on what? How we behave. Im kibanim. If we behave like banim, rachmanim. And how do we behave like banim? Rachmanim, baishanim, goyim lechasadim. Yom kippur is achdus. You forgive each other, we meichel each other. The idea is to start acting with the midas of the Rabbeinu Shleilim of Rachmanis and Chesed in Kibbanim. Achmeinu Kirachim of Albanim. What's up? In Kibbanim, if we come and behave like Banim. If we don't, in Kavadim and Enel Chatluyas. So it all depends if we remain Banim by acting like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gaim Lechasadim. This Rabbi said, I believe, you know, I brought out on Shabbos, my brother gave me a letter, beautiful letter. There was a child that was killed, a bachur from Yeshiva of Waterbury, a few weeks ago, in a car accident, two bachurim. One of them was a bachur called Shombrum, a young boy, 17, 16, a little young boy. Maybe I even took the letter, no, I don't have it with me.
From my brother's Yeshiva.
It's from your brother's Yeshiva in Waterbury. The parents, Erev Shabbos, sent out a letter that he himself wrote. This Shomer, this boy, this 16-year-old Kaddish that was killed on the road, was killed by a car. When he was in ninth grade, he wrote, and they sent you the way in the handwriting of the child. Ninth grade, Shomer. And he writes as follows. I read in the newspaper that there was a car accident and two people got killed. That's what it says in the letter. I think it says two kids got killed. Two kids got killed. I felt very bad for them. It hurt me very much. I was so felt from that I decided to give my offer, my own money to the families to help them. This boy, I have a letter, I read it in the shul. I read about it in the shul. Yeah. What a child. He's a child, ninth grader. You know what a guy is, a ninth grader? They have no concept of anything. Nothing. Here, a ninth grader was able to understand Rachmanis from another person. That's bummer. That's what it means. A Yiddish kid. That's what we have. Rachmi Meinu. Rachmani. Taishone. A child. Ninth grade. Why he was taken away? Like Rach, maybe as a carbon. You know? Maybe he's the carbon. That's Mavak al Bonel. And he's going to cry. And he's going to cry. Maybe, like Rachel, she was also taken away early. She was also taken. Who knows? If she's not going to be taken away. He was taken away. He should be in front of the Kisah Covenant and say, Rabbeinu Shleilo, I had Rachmanis. Now you have Rachmanis. I'm calling Yisrael. That's the Pshat Rabbi Sayyid. Rachmanin, Baishanin, Kaim Lechasad. Now I'd like to discuss another part of the parsha. You know, Yaakov Avinu comes to Rachel and he cries. He cries. By Isha, he gives her a kiss and he cries. What's he crying about? Yeah, well, it's a happy moment. This is your Kala, Gevaldik, Rachel, Tzadekis. What are you crying about? So Rashi says that he was crying because he saw Baruch HaKadosh that he's not going to be buried with her. And I guess it means, why not? Because Klai Yisrael is going to go to Galus. See, he saw already Churban. He saw, and he cried. Okay. A second shot Rashi brings, that my Eliezer, Eved Avram, who came with a lot of money, and he gave Rivka presents, and I have empty hands. Why? Because Eliphaz went, because his father told him to kill Yaakov, so instead of killing Yaakov, he took away all his money, because Ani Chashiv Kemes. Okay. Can I ask you a question? If Yaakov feels that Rachel needs presents, he went to marry her. Doesn't make sense. If this is the level of maturity of Rachel Imenu, that his presence make a difference, he wouldn't have chose Rachel. Doesn't make sense. And you don't have to cry about it. And if she's willing, she's willing. She's maskim. So what do you have to cry about? Well, what are you crying about? Now, who cries that he can't give a present this kalal? Unless he means he doesn't have the midas toivus. Maybe that's what it was. He was crying. It's a midas toivus. I'm supposed to give her a bracelet. I feel bad for her, so I'm crying. Because of a bracelet, he's crying. Something needs hesber of it. It needs to be explained. And the two chazal, one is Yisor b'Nevuah, yeah, Beis HaMikdash. And the other thing is finally you have a bracelet together. Those two Rashis go together. Those two chazal go together. So I'll tell you, Rabbi, say what I think the pshat is. We find by Eliezer, when he brought the money, he gave Rivka the present right away. Right away, he gives her the present. And then he asks her who she is. Later on, when he tells over the story to Lavan, he changes it around to Basul and Lavan. He says, I asked her who she is, and then I gave her the money. Why Taka does he do that? So Rashi says, because Lavan's going to look at him. What are you throwing? Something's wrong. I call the police. So something's wrong. Who throws money at somebody? Well, what? What's the reason to do that? So the question is, why Taka did he do it? Taka doesn't make sense. See if the Masmiat, and your present will come. You have to throw right away presents. And the Teretz Rabbosai is as follows. Notice in the presents, they weren't regular presents. There was a remes. The two was a remes for the Luchais. The ten was a remes for Vaseres Hadibris. Bekalagogailis, Klal Yisrael, there's Ramazim. Money has a tremendous tafkid. You could do big things with money. Do you know that the Luchais was a tremendous, you got rich, Moshe Rabbeinu got rich off the Luchais. After the Shivri Luchais, they broke, he took them, he became very rich from it, it says. Moshe became rich, when Moshe becomes rich from the Luchais. Right?
In what way?
They were worth a lot of money.
You mean the pieces? The pieces?
I don't know if he sold them. It's just, it was, I guess, antique, or the stones themselves were very expensive. Right? Chazal say clearly that Moshe Beinu became rich. He was became a millionaire with the Luchas. Huh? First Luchas. From the what was left over after his cutting off the luchos.
Okay.
What's the pshat? Money is a good thing. You can do big things with money. But you do it right. It has to be done right. Right? So what happened over here was that Eliezer was teaching Rivka what is money in the future of Klal Yisrael. I'm coming with lots of money. But understand, it's not the money. Understand, it's the Luchais, it's Bekala Gogailas, Klal Yisrael, it's the Remes that he was hinting to before we even talk. Before I even asked her Basmiach, before we... But Rivka was a tzaddik because she understood. Lavan doesn't see more than the money. Well, what does Lavan see? Lavan sees money. So therefore, he had to change the story to make it sound like it was a present for the wedding. Basmiach, I asked her who she is, and I realized it's the right shidduch, and I gave her a... earrings and a bracelet, okay? The way the custom of all good Jewish marriages, okay? But that wasn't the kavana. That's why Yaakov Avinu's crying. Yaakov Avinu's crying, you hear? Why is he crying? He knows that there's a tremendous simen, mice of a similar bunim. Because this was implanting in the marriage what money, gashmius, is going to be in relevance to Ruchnius, that together they join to create. It was a stamp on the marriage. It was a simen that was in the marriage. Like you do things at a chasana, it should be a simen toiv, a mazel toiv. This was a simen toiv, a good omen, to produce that money. Yes, we're going to make money. You see, he's coming to Lavan's house, he's going to walk away with money. But it's going to be clean money. It's going to be Aseres Hadibris. It's going to be Bekel Uncle Gailis. Of course I'm going to work now in Lavan's house. He knows what he's ready for. He was in the yeshiva 14 years. He prepared himself for Lavan's house. And therefore, he's saying, it's going to be real, it's going to be clean. But he didn't have the siman. That's why he was crying. He was crying, he couldn't do. And if you notice, it doesn't say he didn't bring him, he was crying because he didn't have money to give. He was crying because he couldn't do like Eliezer Evan Avram. That's, it's not the battle. He should just say, he cried, he had no money. What does it do to Eliezer? And the answer is he cried that he couldn't do the same siman with wisdom that Eliezer did. Eliezer did a tremendous thing. It could be came from Avram, called Tuv Adayin of Biyadai. Maybe Avram instructed him to do this. Eliezer Evan Avram. With this, I want to tell you, by Yishak Yaakov L'Rachel, he kisses her. And everybody asks him, what, who, what, it's Nila? Okay. You know, they all talk about, later on it says that it was Kiyam Machadim Bavasa Aysa, that for 7 years, he worked for Rachel and it was like nothing. So the Mefarshim say that the Torah is showing us that when he kissed her originally, it wasn't from Taiva. Because if it was from Taiva, it couldn't have been that the 7 years was Kiyam Machadim. It can't be. If it's that, then it's not easy. So it's very hard, 7 years. So the proof. The proof had to be. The proof had to be Kiyam Machadim, that it's obviously. The batteries, maybe. We still have time. Kiyam Machadim is a proof that the kiss was ruchnis. I saw in the Sefer Mayani Achayim for Reb Chaim Zaitchik, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He quotes the Mashgiach from Branovich, Reb Lubachinsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Nobody even knows what happened. He was killed in the war. Nobody even knows. Disappeared. Nobody knows what happened to him. Must have been killed in a concentration camp somewhere. He was a big tzaddik. He was a famous tzaddik in Europe. See, he said over that he has b'mesoira, that at the time when Yaakov kissed Rachel, he was mechadesh the halachas of Erev V'Tchumim.
Erev V'Tchumim?
Yeah. What's the pshat? The pshat Rabbi says like this. What's the pshat? Erev V'Tchumim, I'll tell you the pshat. You know what the three hardest mesechtas in Shas are? Ani. Ani is Erevin. Nun is Nida. And Yud. I'm sorry, Ani and Yavamas. And Yavamas, right? Okay. Ani, in the middle of Yankiv Avinu's working on Mesechtas Ervin, he kisses Rachel. You tell me, was it a kiss of Taiva? What they're trying to say is that he, in the middle of learning, he was in the middle of a sugya. It was no different than reading a Rashi to him. Vayishak Yaakov L'Rachel. He was in the middle of learning the hardest sugyas, Eruv V'Tchumim. Ani he was learning. He was Vayishak Yaakov L'Rachel. So the Shika, Zafad the Teiretik, it was a tremendous, and Yaakov was Kulay Teira. And that's the Pshat, in when he went, he felt bad over the money. We think he felt the money, he cried over money. He cried over the simen. He was able to give in this legal champion. Okay. I'd like to discuss. It says in the pasuk, "Vayiska Elokim," that's Rachel, and she had a child. What is Vayiska? Schira. Says Rashi, she remembered two things. The first thing remembered was that Rachel gave the simanim. Tremendous. We just spoke about the simanim, how great it was. And she had a child. A second, Nakuda, that Vayiska, the Abish, remembered that she didn't want to fall Begayroli Shalesov, and she cried, and she didn't want to fall to be a wife of Esav. Now, Lechayra, it's not Kesher. There's no connection between the two Pshat Mirashi, right? One is she cried. The Abish remembered her for giving the Simanim Lay. And the second one is not, unless maybe it's connected. She didn't want to fall Begayra Shalesav, and yet still she gave the Simanim. Maybe it's connected. Yeah. She could have thought to herself that if she doesn't give the Simanim, she doesn't have to go to Esav. Now that she gave the Simanim, now she has to go to Esav, and still she gave the Simanim. So maybe the Rashi's connected, or maybe there's a deeper connection, Rabbi Yisai. If you look at the beginning of Perek Lamed, it says clearly, Rashi brings down, that when Yaakov Avinu is confronted by Rachel, give me children, why don't you give me children? Says Rashi, what does that mean? Dam for me. Was that what your grandfather and parents did? What Avram didn't dam for Sarah, Yitzhak didn't dam for Rivka? Yeah, he answers back to says Rashi, my grandmother gave over her shifcha, gave over her maid to Avram. Says Rachel, that's what it takes? No problem. I'm going to go and I'm going to give you my shifcha, my maid, and I'll have children. So was it for that? It's mashma that it had something to do with the fact that she gave the shifcha. So which one is it? Is it the shifcha? Is it the simanim? Is it the falling begayreli shalaysav? And what is the point of giving the shifcha? What's so? I gave a shifcha, so what? What's behind? And also you can ask, why did the Eibishter make that Klal Yisrael should come from such a dysfunctional home almost? A wife with a sister and two maids. In America we would consider that a dysfunctional home. I mean, well, what is that exactly? Two sisters. You know, the reason why two sisters and I don't get married, the Ramban and the Chinuch both say? Because it's impossible they should hate each other. It's possible. So Hashem says two sisters can't. They're supposed to love each other. Sisters are supposed to be, if you put them in the same house, they're going to hate each other. No. So what's the pshat? As a matter of fact, I'll tell you even more. You know, it's interesting. The Medrash says that Ashrachel tells Hashem, I wasn't mekane, I wasn't jealous. I gave the simanim and I wasn't jealous. But she was jealous. Pasuk says clearly, Vatikane Rachel b'chayse, she was jealous. So how could she come and say I wasn't jealous? So we could come and say, originally when I gave the wife, I wasn't jealous. But now it's a whole different story. With the children, I'm jealous. It's a whole different... Rashi rather says a different shot. Rashi says, she's mekaneh b'maseh toiv. She wasn't really jealous. Kina seifrim. It was a good kin. It was a good jealousy. It was mekaneh mestamaleh. It must be a bigger tzadekis than me. That's why she has children. That's how Rashi says. So mamela, it's not a question. She didn't really have jealousy. The Ramban seems to say that Leah felt second class to when Rachel was around. Ramban says that Leah tells Rachel, I'm at kachti chasishi, you took away my husband. And we all know from Rabbi Yeruchim, the Mashgiach, Bali Musa speak, how could Leah tell something to Rachel? Leah could tell you, who took whose husband away? If anything, Rachel could have looked at her and said, what? What are you talking about? I did you a favor, I gave you my husband. So the Malik Musa say that Rachel made her feel so, as if, no, Leah, you're the wife and you didn't do anything, you didn't take away. Azizog and Bali Musa. Ramban says a little, but when she complained, she said clearly, I'm at kachti chasishi, says the Ramban, because Leah felt like an Amma. She felt like when Rachel treated her like an Amma. So wait a minute. So you are Mekana, you're not Mekana. The Chassam Sofer says a Meridik Pshat. What does it mean, give me children, if not I have to die? Imayin Mesa Neichi. Why? So Chazal says someone without children is like he's dead. I once said a Pshat. What is Pshat Imayin Mesa Neichi? The Rebbein Shem wants Rachel Mavakal Banel. That's her tafkid. She knows this. She knows Yaakov cried on her shoulder that she's not going to be buried. Why? Because she has to cry for Klal Yisrael, right? Tell me, isn't there a halacha by a Baal Tefila, or a Shani Yom Kippur, we don't take someone who doesn't have children? Why not? Because he doesn't have feelings, and I'm crying, he can't have... So that's what Rachel's trying to say. Rachel's saying, if you don't give me children, I can't be the Baal Tefila for Klal Yisrael. My tafkid is Rachel Mevakal Bonel. If you don't give me children, how can I have Rachel Mavak al Bano? So what does he answer back? Could be he answers back, Avada, you could be Mavak al Bano, because I have children. And as Rachel Akeres Habayis, Leah's children could be your children too. You shouldn't look at my children. Don't look at my children. Look at his Klal Yisrael. Rachel Mevak, and I'll have a bigger eye for you. Rachel Mevak al Boneha, are they all her children? It's all of Klal Yisrael. But it's just Yosef and Binyamin that they're going into Golis? Because everyone in Klal Yisrael is Boneha. Remember my Babi Alea Shalom used to say, Kum mein kind. How is that person mein kind? Every person that walked into my Babi's house was mein kind. Not a child. Every child, to Yiddish Mama, is a child. Rachel, you don't need your children. It could be, I'll have children. You hear? So she answers back, maybe, what I just told you with the halacha. Yes, but the mice, I won't have the hergeshim. I won't have those hergeshim that are necessary for to be a Baal Tefila for Klal Yisrael. Now let's go back to explain the sugya. Why did she have children? She gave the shivcha. Why did she have children? The simanim. Why did she have children? Because of Esav. You know what the point was? Why do you want children? Do you want it because it's you? Or do you want it because it's Klal Yisrael? The raya, the proof, is if you give your shivcha, then it's not for you. It's not. It's selfless. My mother, says Yaakov, my grandmother, she wanted Avram to have a child, so she gave even her shivcha. Oh, it takes to show that I have to not care about myself to this point. Okay, I give my shivcha. I gave the simanim. I don't care about myself. I don't want to fool the Geiroli Shalesav. I mean Klal Yisrael. Geiroli Shalesav is, it's about Klal Yisrael. When a person's tafkid is not... is Klal Yisrael, then he has to get answered. If you notice, from the time of the Shivcha, every time it says a child to Yaakov. Taylor, Bein LeYaakov, Bein LeYaakov. From the Shivcha, from the... In the beginning, it doesn't say, Leah's children is not Ben. It just says, Reuben was born, Levi was born, you saw. True, the names had to do with the husband, but it doesn't say a Ben 4. The Ramban asks for a question, why? And the answer is very simple. Because Rachel gave the maid, why? Not for herself. It should be Ben LeYaakov. So from here on in, all the children, was they gave, even when Leah gave. Leah gave also, why did Leah give? It should be Ben LeYaakov. More children in Klal Yisrael. Not about her. It wasn't about her. When it's not about you, the Meila Vayisker Elikim, The Eibishter remembers that this is for Klal Yisrael. And this is what you want for Klal Yisrael. I'll give you the children. I'll give you Klal Yisrael. So these are some of the lessons from a very packed parsha. Parsha's Vayetze. It's Taka Mizoicha. Shavu Banam L'Gvulam. The children should come back. The Schus of the Mama Rachel. The Heilige Mama Rachel. Shavizoicha. To the B'yas HaGoyal. B'mher B'yameinu. Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.